Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You can tell I either have been taking voice lessons or I've got a cold, one of the two.
Have you hit puberty and you're dropping your voice?
I'm trying to talk very high this morning, but I can't seem to get up there. Anyway, welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to return once again to the high priestly prayer. We were just there about 6 months ago, and kind of a selfish reason I went there, because next weekend I'll be in Russia and appreciate your prayer. And one of the messages I'll be giving is on John 17. So I thought I would have a little review today at your expense. Not really. This is just a very short summary. But I mean, it is just such holy ground. You know, John Knox said it's the holy of holies in the temple of Scripture, you know, and it really is. And, you know, when we read Hebrews 7:25, and we read that not only does he save us, but he ever lives to pray for us. And have you ever thought, if Jesus is praying for you right now, which he is, what's he praying? How does he pray? Well, John 17 gives us some insight into that, because it's the longest prayer we have in the Bible of Jesus, and it shows us his heart, and it shows us how he prayed to the Father 2,000 years ago, and he includes us, because the prayer, as you know, is divided into three sections. One for himself, the first five verses, and then the second section is for the 11 apostles, and then the last seven verses is for us, the future believers. So this prayer is absolutely for you and for me. So I thought we would just start, since the cross is so important in all of this, because that is where God has demonstrated his unbelievable love for you and for me. And when we think about that, we just can't even grasp it, can we? How could a just God be just in saving me, in saving you, such a wretched sinner, and be just? And at the same time, to be the justifier, to not only forgive us our sins, but to wipe them away. But it's the perfect cross. And I think as we continue and even on into glory, we will start to see the profoundness of that in a much greater way than we can even envision today. But let's sing this Fanny Crosby hymn. It's a familiar tune. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain free to all. A healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. And I don't know theologically how accurate it is with this river crossing and all, but it's certainly a nice hymn, and it is a hymn that often would bring tears to you as you think of the cross on it. So let's sing along, or you can just listen, whichever you like. The words are at the top of the notes there.
Close from Calvary's mountain.
as we look at this great high priestly prayer, as Jesus begins the prayer praying for himself, one of the first things we see is that he says, as you have given him, Jesus, authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you've given him. So the first thing we see in this prayer, Jesus saves us. He saves us. It's a free gift, but he saves us. And then we move on down and we see another key word is keeps us. He keeps us. And so in several verses here, it says, keep through your name. And it says, I have kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And then that you should keep them from the evil one. And we recognize he not only saves us, but he keeps us. How long would we last if we were not kept by him? Maybe a nanosecond, right? And he keeps us through persecution. He keeps us in times of spiritual battles. He just keeps us, and he will keep us all the way. Isn't that great? Yeah. So if you ever think, well, I think he dropped me. No, he didn't drop you. You're being kept. And then next we see he sanctifies us. He sanctifies us in verses 17 through 19, sanctifying us, making us holy. He has made us positionally totally holy already 2,000 years ago, but now in a practical way, he is changing us to become more Christ-like. So he saves us, he keeps us, he sanctifies us. And now these final seven verses, he prays for us, specifically for all those who will believe in my name through their word. And so notice that carefully. It's through the word of the apostles. And then it's passed on to us through us as well. We are the source now of the Word of God for particularly the unbelievers. We have a job to do. It's a reason we're still here. And so I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me. So that is you, that is me, that is all believers all through the ages. So Jesus is looking down through time, a couple thousand years, and here we are. And yet we are part of the body of Christ, not because we're a church member, not because we go to a specific church, but we see the whole church is what is being addressed to here. And the whole church is any that believes in Jesus Christ as the Savior, really. So it's all kinds of sizes and shapes and it's not just one real big church. Everybody comes to one real big church. We've got a lot of little different kinds of churches and all, but they all have one commonality. And one of the things we see here, he is praying that the world will see that he has been sent by the Father through us. And it's really a supernatural thing that you could have such a diverse group, even in this group right here this morning, a very diverse group. How could we be so united? How could we be so united? And the world, if the world sees that and notices that, which they do, it can only be supernatural. It can only be by him. It can't be because we, you know, sign these great long forms and we agree to be all alike and everything else. No, it's him. It's him. So he prays for us, the future believers. And the first thing he prays for is unity. Unity, unity, unity. He hates discord. He hates division. So he prays for unity, and in verse 21, the first standard is that we would be one. The body of Christ, all of these little bodies, if you will, all of the people in these little bodies of Christ would be one as the standard, as the Father is in the Son and as the Son is in the Father. And of course, that standard, absolutely inseparable. There's no difference in separation between the Father and the Son. So that's the very first thing he prays for, that we would have the same unity as the Father and the Son have unity together. Is that awesome? Can't even understand that either, because that is so great. And then the second one is that we may be one in us, that we would be not only unified together, but we would be unified in him, in the Father and the Son. And then verse 22, in the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Now, maybe if you thought that Jesus was really praying for you, maybe he's praying, you know, I'll win the lottery, or maybe he's praying that I'll be shown on the magazine next year as one of the top 25 influential people in the world or whatever. No, there's something much, 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 much greater than that. And that's that he will share his glory with us. And again, that is beyond the ability to comprehend that. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. He didn't sell it to us. He didn't rent it to us. He didn't lease it to us. He is giving it to us. And then the result, that they may be one, just as we are one. So the glory being given to us, again, being part of him and part of his kingdom, and then we are one with him, and that then the world may see that as well. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they, again, the they, these theys are all us, it's all the body of Christ, may be made perfect. So he's not only praying for us to be saved, and he's not only keeping us, but he's praying for us to be perfect. Isn't that a good, boy, he's got his hands full with me, I tell you. I don't know how much time you get, but he is praying that we would be made perfect in one, in unity, and that the world may know that you have sent me. So seeing that perfection in you, seeing that perfection in me, we're the witness when the world comes to the conclusion, there's only something going on there. It doesn't make any sense. How could that be happening in that individual? I know that individual. I used to know that individually. They're just a wreck, a mess. But it's the Lord, isn't it? It's the Lord. That the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Does your life really show the world that you believe that the Father loves you the same way the Father loves his Son? Can you quantify that one? That, again, is beyond quantification, isn't it? That's verse 24, and then 23. And then 24 is just a super verse. They're all super, I guess, but this is another one. Father, I desire, I will, or I am insisting on as the Son of God. This is something strong when he's praying, I will, or I desire, that they, that's again us, the future believers, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am. Now, why does the Father, and why does Jesus want you with him where he is? Do you think you're really a good companion? I don't know, maybe you are. I'm not. I mean, I can't even stand to be with myself. But he wants us to be with him where he is, and to behold the heavenly glory. He's asking us to be with him where he is, that they, us, the future believers, may behold my glory. What an invitation that is. That's a lot better than being on People magazine, isn't it? It's a lot better than having the lottery won, or better than anything else. I mean, to behold his glory forever, forever. So any of you can understand all of this, boy, sure, I'd like some lessons because it's too high for me. But that I would be with him where he is, that we may behold his glory. And what glory is that? It's the glory which you, Father, have given me, Jesus, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. And so we are being drawn into that through his love for us to be fully equivalent to behold that glory forever. And so if you got any unbelieving friends, boy, and you start to think about this, pray for them, whatever you can do to hopefully see them saved, because this is just so awesome. And we're not going to spend any time today on the eternal torment, but that's eternal as well, and that's a bad place to be. And the only two choices, right? So I like what one writer said about heaven. We're told enough to want to be there. We're not told enough about it to make us want to commit suicide and go there tomorrow, you know? Because if we really knew how good it was, we would say, I don't want to be here anymore. But we're here until that last one is saved, aren't we? And if that witness is such, then maybe that'll be today. Maybe that's today. I don't know. But it will be at one point in time. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world has not known you. How true we see that. But I, Jesus, have known you, and these, that's us, have known that you sent me. Do you really know that he was sent by the Father? That's so important, because so many, the Jews and some others, don't believe Jesus Christ was sent by the Father, right? They don't believe in the Son. They just believe in the Father. But we who are his body, that's the essential part of it, is that we do believe that he is from the Father. And then verse 26, and I have declared to them and your name and will declare it. So he has and he will declare it, and the result that the love with which you love me, Father, may be in them and I in them. What a closing prayer. Praying that the Father's love for Jesus, that same love, would be in us and we would be in him. Pretty awesome, isn't it? Well, Father, we thank you for this prayer. Always, it's just so exciting to eavesdrop in a sense on your heart to see what you're thinking and what you want for us. And it is so humbling. And Lord, here we are this morning with time now to pray a little bit as a group and then to break into small groups so we can all pray. And so guide us now by your Spirit in Jesus' name. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord's Prayer in John 17, and we thank you for the model prayer there that we call the Lord's Prayer, but we know that could not be your prayer because you have no sin. It's not forgive you your sins, but it's to forgive us our sins. And Lord, even the very, very beginning of that prayer, hallowed be your name, Lord, that is so awesome just to dwell on that phrase alone and that's the basis of everything, really, Lord, is you. And so, Lord, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. And I just pray that each one would be close to you today and each day, and we would be available. We would be thankful that you've saved us, thankful that you're keeping us. Yeah. Thank you that you sanctified us and are sanctifying us, and thank you that you're unifying us. And, Lord, thank you that you put it in our heart to show and live as a living sacrifice to draw others to you. And so, Lord, much work to be done. We know that. And the work is not done yet or we'd be out of here. And help us just to be filled with your joy and your peace. It is that joy and peace and love that will bring others to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.